This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to talk about seeing the obvious. Now, what seeing the obvious should imply is that every single one of us as individuals should be able to see the obvious. By that, I mean it should be normal for everybody to see exactly what is going on all around them. It should be blatantly obvious. There should be no disconnect from that activity. So when you have hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth right now, and a huge percentage of that number is in the United States of America, but you have a huge number, a huge percentile of the people in America who can no longer see the obvious. In other words, what was obvious to people even 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, is no longer obvious, even though it's in plain sight. It should be recognizable by everybody, but it isn't. And the fact that it isn't is rooted to a very serious problem, perhaps the biggest problem in America right now is not the problems that are discussed by the media. The biggest problem is this complete inability to see the obvious, to see what is right in front of your face, or to see what is going on all around you. Now, you know, it's interesting that as the public educational system became more and more taken over no longer by educators. I mean, there was a time in America, at the very founding of America, there was a time in different nations in the world where the people who basically taught education were teachers and educators, but primarily teachers. And they taught people how to learn to read and write and stuff like that. So it was the educators and the teachers who taught people how to read and what they learned in school. But in the last 100 years especially, there's been a substitute. Instead of having educators, I'm not talking about professional educators, because professional educators are nothing more than bureaucrats with a hidden agenda. I'm talking about teachers without an agenda who just want to teach history, science, math, music, or whatever to the students. That is increasingly rare. Everything is about presenting a hidden agenda masquerading as education to the students, so that the students deliberately have been scientifically dumbed down so that they can no longer see the obvious. So isn't it interesting that the ability to see the obvious has rapidly declined? And yet at the exact same time period, teaching to the test and high test scores have risen higher and higher dramatically. Let's revisit that for a moment. At the same time that fewer and fewer people can literally see the obvious, they can no longer see the obvious, okay? At the same time, the ability to see the obvious is being erased faster and faster each day. It is at this same exact time period that students are performing amazingly high on teaching to the test scores, in which they are pronounced as superior students or students who have graduated a particular class or whatever with the highest grades. Yet at the exact same time, they have completely lost their ability to see the obvious. Now, that's not an accident. That's not a happen chance. That's deliberate. Why is it deliberate? Because one of the founders of our educational system said, the purpose of education is not to educate, it's to indoctrinate. And so ever since the time that the purpose of public school education has been to indoctrinate students into a particular social agenda, political agenda, et cetera, et cetera, it was at that same time period that they became dumber and dumber, and they can no longer see the obvious. So what that tells us is there's something desperately, desperately... Look, if you don't have common sense, you're not going to understand this, and that would be the domain of most professional educators. Logic would assume that it used to be this way anyway in America and other nations, that if you tested high on the test, you would also be smarter in general society, and you would, of course, know how to see the obvious. But now we live in a time where you're being scientifically dumbed down by the educational system, and in the process of being scientifically dumbed down by the educational system, you can no longer see the obvious. So what is the end result? The end result is that seeing the obvious no longer has a direct connection to education or the educational system. In fact, the more that your mind or your children's minds are shaped and molded by the educational system, the greater the likelihood is that they can no longer see the obvious. Why is that? Because the entire, you have, at this point on the journey on the road, you have to come to the conclusion. There's only one conclusion that you could possibly come to. You have to come to the conclusion that the purpose of modern education is not to increase intelligence, learning, or education, which would result in being able to see the obvious. No, the purpose of modern education is the exact opposite. It's to brainwash the students, put them through a social engineering process, a mind control process, where they can no longer see reality clearly, so they can no longer see the obvious. Now, I know that's like Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. It's a topsy-turvy world. I mean, it's crazy, but that's the truth. So, where does that bring us? It brings us that we live in a time in America right now, which, as I've often said, is it's the time of the greatest spiritual battle in the history of mankind, and it occurs primarily in the area of the mind. So, why is it, just for example, why is it that countless millions of adult Christians and student Christians and young adult Christians, why is it that Christians suffer from an epidemic of not being able to see the obvious? In fact, Christians can no longer see the obvious in a percentage rate exactly the same as kids who are non-Christians. So there is no substantial difference between being able to see the obvious and being a Christian or a non-Christian. Now, that is not the way that God intended it. So what's the problem? Well, first, the major problem is we have allowed the teachers, the educators, the Julian Huxleys of this world who created Common Core, we have allowed them to define what knowledge and learning is, and we've allowed them to define what intelligence is and education is. So instead of having education, we have programming. Our students and adults have been programmed. And in the process of their programs, they have deliberately manipulated the interior of the mind so that people cannot perceive. Perception and intelligence go hand in hand, by the way. Perception and intelligence go hand in hand. You see, God created every one of us in his own image. Okay, and one of the faculties that God possesses as the infinite personal living God of the universe is that God has the ability to perceive. And not only can God perceive and see the obvious, God can see that which is not obvious, and God, through his heightened levels of perception, can see far deeper and on a multidimensional level than any man can or woman can. God's perception is just off the charts. But we have children now and adults that have been dumbed down who can no longer access the intelligence that God has given them. And remember, once again, intelligence learning, being smart, and education go hand in hand. If you show me a student that is not perceptive, if you show me a student that is not able to utilize his or her perception, you are basically showing me a student that is stupid, that's dumbed down, that has a low level of intelligence. It simply does not matter whether or not they tested high on the test scores, because there's no correlation whatsoever between teaching to the test and testing high and some measurable increase on seeing the obvious. There's none whatsoever. So there's something very flawed about this educational process in which people can claim to be educated but end up with less perception than they had going in. If a person is not perceptive, they're dumb. They're dumbed down. There's no way around it. They used to call it common sense. You don't hear the word. You do not hear the word common sense very often these days. You know why? Because nobody has any common sense. And the last thing that people want to do regarding common sense is they don't want to bring up a term that could possibly indict them and expose their stupidity. So let's start here at the foundation, because God, this is something you will almost never hear taught in a church. It doesn't matter whether it's taught in a church or not. It is a powerful reality that God expects. It's a powerful reality that God expects among his creation. It's a sign of intelligence. So remember, in the book of Genesis, it says that God created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So one of the capacities that God has is to perceive. Perception is connected directly to intelligence. If a person cannot perceive, and when I talk about perception, I'm not talking about simplistic perception. If you look at reality, assuming you don't have a color blindness problem, but if you look at reality and all you can see is black and white colors, like an old black and white TV, you have faulty perception because you're not perceiving all the stimulus that's available to your eye. In the same way, you can take different people and put them in different rooms, okay, with other people. And one person will have very little amount of observations about the other people in the room, very few perceptions. Another person would have an enormous amount of perceptions or observations. That second person is definitely far more intelligent and perceptive, because perception is a sign of intelligence. Now, in a scientific dictatorship, in a world where a globalist elite has scientifically dumbed down the population through education and the media, so on and so forth, you have fewer and fewer people who are actually able to access their God-given perception and observation abilities. They can no longer see the obvious. Now, at this moment, I'm going to take you on a very twisting turn on this road that we're on. There's going to be a radical twist in the turn of the road. And I'm going to bring up something that I don't think I've ever brought up before. And that is the role that the internet plays and social media plays in all of our individual intelligence and perception, and how the internet and social media technologies radically re-alter our intelligence, our consciousness, our perception, and in short, the internet and social media technologies radically alter our reality, framework, and structure. And I want to say that again, because this is enormous, and it's so enormous, it's so huge, that people are just beginning to understand what has happened and what is going to happen. So let's go back to it again. With the coming of the internet age and the social media age, the ability of computers, technology, software, the internet, apps, etc., to rewire people's brains, to completely transform their consciousness, their beliefs, their ideologies, and everything else has been enormous. In fact, with the introduction of the internet and social media, our perceptions have been so powerfully changed that we have recreated reality, if you will. We have recreated the reality that you and I live in, if you will. Now, you'll probably have read something on this, I would imagine, but you probably haven't heard too much on it because it's exploratory. You definitely won't hear about it in a classroom, for crying out loud, because so far beyond the it's completely incomprehensible to a cubical mind to think on this level. God created the original world with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then when mankind disobeyed God and activated the law of sin and death, that created world by God underwent what was called the fall of man. And it destroyed it. But what has happened, it actually began in the days of radio. And then it accelerated in the days of television. And by the time we got to the software, cell phone, internet age, a literal revolution has occurred in consciousness, knowledge, understanding, and these expressions, such as Carl Jung's theory of the collective unconscious, expressions like the group mind or groupthink, or the mass mind, or the hive mind, or whatever you want to call it. These aren't just science fiction terms. They are talking about the fact that the power of the internet and social media to change billions of people's perceptions, thoughts, beliefs, ideas about reality is so powerful and so all-consuming. And it continues to accelerate faster and faster. So what we now live in, and this is important to grasp, if you want to have the upper hand in life and not be a victim, if you want to be a conqueror and not a slave, if you want to be ahead of the game instead of lost in the game, if you will pay attention very carefully to what I'm saying, you will have an advantage and knowledge and perception that is way beyond what the average person has, and you will have the ability to project or predict to varying degrees the future. So this is how it works. It used to be ideas, customs, haircuts, fashions, music, literature, ways of doing things, etc., etc. It would spread over hundreds or thousands of years because the customs, let's say, in Africa or Egypt versus the customs in Great Britain or whatever, because of, you know, the transportation was basically either on horseback or foot or through naval vessel, seagoing vessel. It would take centuries for some of these customs to move from one continent to another. So everything was slowed down. Then, with television and radio, the French were picking up American customs and other things at like lightning speed. Now, because of the internet and social media, it happens so fast that something in Britain 3 hours later or an hour later will completely affect and impact America. So what we have is we have a super evolving environment that is constantly changing. Now, imagine this. All the minds of all the people you know, for the most part, are plugged directly into social media of various kinds, search engines of various kinds, the internet, blogs and websites and YouTubes and stuff of various kinds, cable, episodic television, broadcast television, mainstream media, alternative media, there is this all-encompassing saturation of ideas, thoughts, beliefs, and information, constantly altering our opinions, our views, and our consciousness. And on top of that, there are people who are covertly guiding all of these mechanisms. To what degree, we don't know, because most of it's hidden. But they have learned the science a long time ago. They've learned the science of manipulating human behavior, beliefs, emotions, subconscious, conscious, attitudes, political beliefs, philosophies, or whatever. Scientists in the areas of communication, psychology, persuasion, propaganda, mind control, and then just technology, etc., have synergized to manipulate and to change the masses of people and their minds at a very, very fast rate. So we have things like what I refer to in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America and Mass Awakening. We have things called like emotional contagion. And what is emotional contagion? It's when you potently and with amplification, you spread a powerful emotion, a powerful belief system, highly charged with emotion, and you spread it virally, like an epidemic, like a disease of an epidemic. You spread these thoughts and beliefs virally through social media and the internet, and they've done this scientifically so that they can create an Arab Spring, a revolution. Revolutions are now launched with secret armies of bots and secret armies of people operating from rooms with, you know, nothing more than a laptop in front of them. And they're just generating, you know, millions of ideas and articles, et cetera, in social media. And then it causes an emotional contagion, like anger or rage. It can spread, like hating Trump or loving Trump or whatever it happens to be. It can be spread virally over the internet through a scientific process called emotional contagion. And there are hundreds of other words like this. Once you understand that, that should forever change the way you think about reality, the way you think about perception and intelligence. The way you think and why you think and understanding why you think and how you think should change forever if you're paying attention. If you're not paying attention, it's going to hit you like a tsunami of fog and nonsense. You're just going to be blown to bits as the tsunami hits you. I hate to sound so graphic, but that's the truth of it. And it's interesting that I said that's the truth of it. The truth of it is this, that you are either walking in the truth, and when I say walking in the truth, I'm incorporating God's word as well as truth in any other area of life. You're either walking in the truth or you're walking on a foundation based on nothingness. And when that tsunami hits you, which it surely will, you will be engulfed and drowned in this volcanic eruption, which ends up sending this massive wall of water hurtling down on your world and your nation like a tsunami. And you won't even know what caused it because you had allowed yourself to become so disconnected from the truth and reality early on when something could have been done about it. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You need to go to paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and you need to turn your mind on. You need to educate yourself. You need to read the books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Conquering the Matrix, Mass Awakening, Standing Down Goliath, and other books which will teach you what's going on and why it's going on. And in a moment, we're going to explain some things in parable form that will help you understand what's going on now. So visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You can visit our Roku channel by going to paulmcguire.us. Click the Roku button and then type in the name Paul McGuire Ministries for our Roku television channel. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Let's talk about perception and intelligence. And let's go to the biblical reason why intelligence, perception, is not something you can pick or choose. It's something that God commands. Yeah, that's the word for it. God commands his people to do everything in their power to gain wisdom, understanding, intelligence, guidance. So it's not like you get to pick and choose. If you walk around saying, Jesus is Lord of my life, anybody can say, Jesus is Lord of my life. It means absolutely nothing unless it's backed up with follow-up actions. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then you're going to obey what your Lord tells you. How do you find out what your Lord is telling you? You read his word, and in his word, he gives you instructions about what he wants you to do. So in the book of Proverbs, as well as many other places of the Bible, God begins with this foundational truth. And the foundational truth is this. And if you obey this foundational truth, you will enjoy and benefit from the incredible blessings that knowledge and wisdom and guidance give you. So in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive their words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then it goes down a little lower to verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, this is a very interesting thing. One of the most powerful teachings in the Bible is that fools are people that hate knowledge. So whenever you meet a person that hates knowledge and wisdom and understanding, you are also meeting a fool. So I don't want to be rude, but I'm going to cut to the chase because it happens to be true. Whenever you meet a Christian who has no knowledge, who blurts out, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, I don't believe it. Whenever you meet a Christian who hates knowledge, who hates learning, okay, this is what God says of such an individual. God says this. How long, you simple ones? He's saying simple. The better translation is stupid. Let's not play games. Let's not sanitize the Bible when God didn't sanitize it. Somebody was trying to be polite here, so they used the word simple. Simple means nothing in today's vocabulary. If you call somebody simple, they have no idea what you're talking about. That's a bad translation. This is the New King James Version. They struck out, man. They completely blew it interpreting the what God's word is saying. Nobody uses the word simple or simplicity. So why would you translate a powerful word from God's vocabulary and tweak it in such a way so it's non-understandable? The correct translation of the word simple is stupid. And let's not make any bones about it. If you're going to accurately translate the word simple to modern people, you're going to have to use the correct word, which is stupid. So when you hear me use the word stupid more than once, it's because it's an accurate, not non-accurate, translation of the word simple in God's word. So this is what it says. But I'm going to read it the way it should be translated. It says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Nobody knows what the heck you're talking about. By the way, I wrote all the word definitions, the Greek, Hebrew, Latin translations, and all the explanations. I mean, thousands of paragraphs from Genesis to Revelation in this Bible. It's called the King James, New King James Version Bible for students. Okay? Now, I didn't write that as a translation of the word simple. So I can't, I don't accept responsibility for the bad translation. So how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Let me translate it for you. It should say, how long, you stupid ones, will you love stupidity? That's accurate. For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Well, we all know what a fool is. And if what's synonymous is, if you meet people who hate knowledge, that reject wisdom, that reject knowledge, they're fools, according to the words of God. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel. There's a repetitive theme, is that the fool, the stupid person, is constantly rejecting, putting down, scorning, refusing God's counsel. Okay, the fool is constantly rejecting the counsel of God. Instead, God wants to pour out a spirit of wisdom on those people, but they refused. You would have none of my rebuke. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. Okay, then it goes down here and it says, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Why do seekers of wisdom not find wisdom? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my rebuke and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. All right? Okay. So what is being said here by God? God is saying that the most powerful thing you can do in life, and he's speaking to believers, is study his word and glean from it the intelligence, the wisdom, and the knowledge that God wants to give you, including that God wants to pour a spirit of wisdom out upon you. And that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then we read, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses and the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Okay, so this is the thing. God is saying, is if you're walking with me, if you're walking in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're renewing your mind with God's word and reading and studying and meditating on God's word, if you're asking God for wisdom and knowledge, then God says in the book of Proverbs, wherever you go, God will use that as like a classroom, and God will teach you. Everywhere you look, as you conduct your daily lives, God will use that to teach you. So God will shout truth out to you. He will teach you and educate you when you're going around the marketplace, to different businesses in the business sector, when you're at the chief concourses or where the powerful and the elite and the businessmen interact. God will speak to you if you open your eyes and give you wisdom about what they're doing supernaturally. And then it goes on and on, saying God will teach you wherever you walk and go. And then prior to this paragraph, God's warning men, or it could be women, to, you know, don't yield to temptation from the seductress. And that is, the seductress can be somebody who sexually seduces, but can also be a seduction into error and all kinds of false teaching. Okay? And then God says that he wants to bless them. And then God says, the value of wisdom. I mean, God's saying, and if you, the choice is yours, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment, notice that God does not like passivity. Christians think passivity is fruit of the Holy Spirit. God hates passivity. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. God is saying, this is what God is saying. Let's quit, dodging the central theme. God is saying, if you're going to be aggressive, if you're going to cry out for wisdom, if you're going to go after wisdom for everything it's worth, if you're going to pursue wisdom with a passion, okay, if you're going to pursue wisdom like silver and hidden treasures, then and only then will you find the knowledge of God. For the Lord God gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield. That means listen to me. If you're a businessman, a waitress, a mother, a father, a truck driver, a CEO, an entrepreneur, whatever you are, if you have the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God becomes a supernatural shield of supernatural protection over you, your loved ones, your family, your business, and everything that you do in life. If you are willing to go after wisdom with a vengeance and acquire it by faith, God will erect a supernatural shield of protection and he will preserve your way. In other words, you'll have so many heavy-duty angelic armies around you, you won't be taken down when you're not looking because God will supernaturally protect you. This is so powerful, man. This is so mind-blowing. Now, let's fast forward. In today's world, everything that the Bible talks about is true. But God would also add, if he was writing the word today, because back then he was writing to an agricultural society. Today he would be writing, for the most part, to societies that are high tech, social media, laptops, cell phones, all the rest of the stuff. And he'd be talking to you in that kind of language, and you'd be learning from God in that kind of language. So, what you have to understand is, right here I'm going to share with you one of the most powerful secrets of getting knowledge, wisdom, power, understanding, guidance, intelligence, and perception, boosting your brain power. What I'm about to share with you is not something I created or invented. It's simply something that I am passing on to you, powerful truths that I discovered in the Word of God by seeking the face of God. And I'm offering it to you for free. Why? Why am I doing that? Because my job, among other things, is to win souls to Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all nations. I would be a horrible disciple of Jesus Christ if I were not properly equipping you to live victoriously in probably one of the most difficult times in human history. But by the grace of God and through your prayers and support, it's my prayer, as you pray for me, it's my prayer that I am faithful to deliver the message that God told me to deliver so that you might be equipped to do every good work. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You can visit paulmcguire.us. We have some phenomenal free books for you. We have hundreds of pages of articles for you. We have videos, YouTubes, the Roku channel, the listing of the next Paradise Mountain Church services, television schedules of different national Christian TV shows on. I'll be on in like the next week or so. One I'll probably have to, I usually like to wait to the last minute before I announce it for certain reasons. And anyway, I think you'll enjoy those. So visit paulmcguire.us. And you know what? If this program is speaking to you and you need to persevere to hang in there, it will speak to people you know. But you got to send it to people you know. So visit paulmcguire.us and utilize the links. And we'll be back in just a moment to share with you how you can access the wisdom of God like you've never known it before.
This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Okay, I'm going to download this information to you, for lack of better words. So I'm going to try to, hopefully, speak in a quick manner, in a focused manner, as best I can. So let's begin with perception. This is a God-given ability he gave to every one of his children. And let's remember this, that if you are born again, if you are saved, you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You've invited Christ into your life and you're born again. The Holy Spirit lives in your inner man or woman, or the Spirit of Christ lives in your inner man or woman. And when you invited Christ into your life, the Spirit of God regenerated the inner man or woman inside you and made you born again. When you were made born again, you were able to access at that moment as a joint heir with Jesus. Don't forget who you are. You're a king and a queen. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're a priest or a priestess and a king or a queen. You have an inheritance that befits being a member of the royal family of the kingdom of God, of whom Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that is the resources that you have to pull from, okay? So let's focus in on the key things here. Perception and intelligence go hand in hand. Intelligence is kind of like your innate ability to figure things out, to understand, to process information. Perception works closely with intelligence because perception is your ability to gather information from all of your senses and from all of the other data and stimulus that is pouring into your life 24/7. Whether you realize it or not, your mind and your spirit and your emotions is constantly pulling into it, let's just say, billions and billions of bits of information, both through your senses, like your eyes, your ears, your hearing. It gets all kinds of information, but also your mind is built to be a receiver of vast amounts of information and data that science isn't even sure exists yet. But let's save ourselves a headache from science. God wants his people to know about it in advance, okay, because that's how he created us. So the ability to perceive is everything. Now, in conquering society and making it a Luciferian society, you want to dumb everybody down so they can be your slaves. Because when people don't have intelligence, when people don't have knowledge, when people don't have wisdom, when people don't have perception, they are easily programmed into slaves. And they'll be compliant and they'll go along with the program. What I want you to do right now is participate with me in, let's just call it, a perception exercise. You say, well, where is that in the Bible, perception exercise? I'll tell you where an example of a perception exercise is in the Bible. One of just many. How about this, if you have a problem with those words? How about the time when Jesus' disciples were freaking out of their minds because Jesus was going to do a lot of teaching later in the day, and he had 5,000 people who had gathered around to hear him preach, teach, and perform miracles. But all he had was a tiny loaf of bread and one fish, but he had 5,000 people to feed. His disciples were freaking out. They went to every town nearby. They went everywhere trying to buy some food, and they couldn't come up with any food that would enable Jesus and his disciples to feed the 5,000 that had gathered to hear Jesus preach. Now, again, this is an exercise in perception that Jesus conducted. That's why you should conduct exercises in perception. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples not to rely on their mere human evaluation, human wisdom, and human perception. He was trying to alter their perception so that they would automatically teach or train their minds to look to God, the Heavenly Father, as their ultimate source, as the ultimate source of all their needs, even though they couldn't see him. So all he did in front of the 5,000 people is Jesus lifted up the loaf and lifted up the fish, and in prayer he thanked God and worshiped God. And in the process, when Jesus was thanking God, supernaturally, God the Father from another dimension, which you can't see with your physical senses, God supernaturally multiplied the number of fishes and loaves of bread so that it could feed 5,000 or more. It was a miracle. It came out of physically nowhere. And all of a sudden, everybody had plenty to eat. What that was Jesus was teaching his disciples an exercise in perception. Perception of the reality of an unseen God able to supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus from heaven. That's just one of many other examples. So, when we live in this reality, to keep us slaves, by some people want us slaves, so they reduce our power to perceive. Now, you can conduct an exercise. If you're just going to go with the flow with your mind, I remember Ken Kesey. He was the big, unfortunately, I hate to admit it, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but one of my heroes was author Ken Kesey, who wrote the best-selling novel One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which was kind of a story about the nurse who was head of a mental hospital. And the nurse was like symbolic of the United States of America and its people, okay? But what I didn't know about Kesey at that time is I knew this. I knew that Kesey went around the United States in a psychedelic Dayglow bus that said further, and he turned people on to LSD, millions of doses, and had rock and roll concerts with the Grateful Dead, etc. But what I didn't know, and he turned people onto LSD everywhere he went, but what I didn't know about Kesey was that it was the government that turned him on to LSD at the University of Stanford when he volunteered. I didn't know also that it's alleged that the government supplied the LSD to Ken Kesey because it was part of their mind control experiment, and they were trying to turn on the counterculture in America to LSD. I didn't know that then, but I know it now. So, he had this expression, which was go with the flow. And that was an Eastern mystical psychedelic drug expression, which meant you don't try to figure out everything rationally, intellectually, or with facts and data. You simply let go and you trust in this kind of Eastern mystical force, this supernatural power, and you just go with the flow. So wherever reality ends up taking you, you just flow with it. I mean, it sounds so Zen-like, it sounds so Buddhist-like, but it's false teaching. You go with the flow, you're going to end up in hell. So I was always bothered by that, by the way, but it wasn't until I read the Word of God that I understood why I was bothered by it, because it's a contradiction to biblical teaching. We don't go with the flow. We go with where God is telling us to go. And God gave us a brain to use. Okay? You don't go with the flow. You need information, knowledge. You just don't go with the flow. So the more knowledge and perception we have about something, the higher the likelihood is that we can make the right decision. So when we increase our perception and knowledge about anything, we're then able to analyze our choices, and we learn this all-important technique or strategy of mind. One of the principles about the way God created the human mind, it is the expectation of God that every man and woman is to self-educate themselves, to grow their brain, increase their brain power, to learn about how they can become wiser, how they can use their mind in a more superior way. It's the expectation of God that every one of you listening, including me, and that we teach this to our children and grandchildren, we don't just say go with the flow and act like, you know, Roseanne and her husband raising her child. I mean, look at the kids in her new TV show. People laugh and stuff, but that is one flat-out nut house. And of course, it's Roseanne. It's a comedy show, so I'm not really knocking it. I'm just saying, if that's what you want your kids to turn out, then use her philosophy of parenting. That's what going with the flow is. So you you use your perception and awareness. Now, that requires that you learn, that you teach your mind. You see, just like others can program your mind, you can program your mind. You can teach your mind to focus in on certain pieces of information, analyze certain pieces of information, study the certain pieces of information, and then teach yourself and learn how to open up the various pieces of information, and then ask yourself the question, how is this piece of information that I'm looking at, how is it affecting the whole picture I call reality? Now, I'm going to continue on with this teaching, because if you will practice this, and this is a biblical principle, part of renewing your mind with the Word of God is studying God's Word. But most Christians forget the second half of renewing their minds with the Word of God. They forget the part, not only renew your minds with the Word of God, but for crying out loud, learn how to apply what God is teaching you to ordinary life. Otherwise, it's useless. Okay, so I often talk about connecting the dots, or people ask me about connecting the dots. And that means people are aware that there's all kinds of dots of information everywhere. Little clues, secrets, facts, conspiracy theories, whatever you want to call them, we're being blasted with all these bits of information floating out there. Like millions of pieces of information. But very few people know how to take those millions of bits of information and connect them together in a logical, meaningful sequence, so it isn't just a random, abstract atmosphere with like millions of bits of information that don't make any sense. Very few people know how to connect those millions of dots of information into a cohesive whole, a pictorial whole, which you can then visually understand. You can understand the big picture. You can understand where reality came from, where reality is, and where reality is going. That's called connecting the dots. You need to know how to connect the dots. And I'm here to share with you the quickest way to do that. We're all bombarded with information. Websites, blog sites, music, mainstream media, alternative media, this show, this radio show, it's almost on overload. Then we have the challenge of trying to figure out who is lying to us. That's a big challenge. Who's giving us false facts and who's giving us real facts? That's not as easy as it seems, because it's very complex. Because a lot of the people that claim to be not fake news are the epitome of fake news. But even among those people who claim to be not fake news or alternative news, there is a significantly high percentage of people in that camp that have a hidden agenda, where they are really at the deep, dark pond in the bottom of the ocean. They are fake news. So you have to have a faster way of determining whether you're reading propaganda or fake news or what. Okay, so how do you connect the dots? If you do what the average person does, they look at the dots, they see a million dots, it represents information, some of it's conspiracy theory to them, some of it's frightening to them, some of it's disconcerting to them, some of it is something they've never heard. The net effect of being exposed or having your perception overwhelmed with all these dots at one time can be, just take a deep breath, just exhale real slow right now and inhale real slow right now. I'm not teaching you Eastern meditation, by the way. I'm just physiologically telling you just to take a mini break in the middle of the Paul McGuire report. No Eastern mysticism,
No mind control and techniques. No, I'm not into that. Okay. Just take a deep breath and allow yourself to relax by inhaling slowly and exhaling slowly, deeply, but not so deeply that you get dizzy. Okay. Now, what you'll notice is that your heartbeat rate stops pumping so fast and that you're kind of in a relaxed thing. Now, I'm not trying to hypnotize you. Okay. I'm not into that. But I wanted you to slow down a little bit because of the information I'm going to share with you at this point. And that is, see, right now you're like me. I mean, I just halfway did the exercise I told you to do. And I'm already feeling calmer, more relaxed, less stressful, less anxiety, which is good. Because now when I share this information with you, you will be able to absorb it and understand it. What happens to most people is when they get bombarded with all this intense information from their perception then goes into an overload mode. Much of the information that their perception is picking up is new to them, alien to them, frightening to them. They think it's a conspiracy theory. They don't know what to believe. They've never thought about it before. And so they're programmed subconsciously. They don't realize it, but they've been programmed subconsciously when they are exposed to all this new perception to go into kind of a freak out mode. They have kind of a panic attack. Their mind begins to spin, and then they feel overloaded, and then they feel frightened, and then they feel depressed, and that's all being done on purpose. And then they just shut down because it's too frightening. It's like they can't handle it. So they go into like a womb-like position and they just shut down because it's too scary for them to leave the land of the mirage where the sand in the desert of the mirage looks like a great place to take a swim. But try diving from a diving board into the sand. It's a mirage. So they're frightened, and then they go to the land of groupthink where everybody around them denies truth, denies their perceptions. And they're like a Jim Jones cult. They've all shared the Kool-Aid, and they're happy on their way to oblivion. Okay, that's the common way of reacting to this. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is believe that you have the mind of Christ. So you pray and you claim the mind of Christ in prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. And then you say, Lord, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So you're taking dominion over your mind. You're not letting your mind run around like a wild donkey. Okay? So then you begin to, you can't do it all at once. You just pick up a couple of areas you're going to think about. Like, take the areas that they're foundational areas. So let's take the areas that you hear me talk about constantly. A secretive elite, the scientific dictatorship with Aldous Huxley and others who spoke to a convention of neuropsychiatrists that in the truly effective scientific dictatorship, men and women will not even know they're slaves. They'll learn to love their servitude. And that's pretty shocking and crazy. And then you do some other research and you read the quotes and stuff. And you got to do research because if you don't believe what you're absorbing into your brain, you're going to be always upset. And that's why you need to self-educate. So study my book, Mass Awakening. Study the book, Conquering the Matrix. Study the book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. Study the book, Standing Down Goliath, and then the Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse. Study it, and you'll see proof of all of it. So you take on, you know, a couple pieces at a time. And then you learn that, well, gee, he's not crazy. He's not a conspiracy theorist. He has firsthand quotes in his books from credible sources that prove his assertion. Okay, so you can be calm about that, and you can say, well, how does this affect my view on life? Well, rule number one, I wouldn't go around telling a whole lot of people about what you know, because most aren't ready to hear it, and they'll just attack you. You've got to be very selective about who you talk to. But then, you then study deeper, which is, let's talk about the scientific dictatorship. The purpose of the globalist elite is that they want to control the world and society and you, but they do it through covert means. They're not doing it right now with guns and armies. They're doing it with controlling the human mind. And if you'll read my books, there's so many quotes by behavioral psychologists, scientists, neuropsychiatrists, all kinds of things that will tell you that this is the way it is. So that right there, you need to take a deep breath, relax, and probably take a break. Because if you're going to jump into this thing the whole way, you got to like, what does a runner do when they're long distance runner? They got to pace themselves or they burn out. My father was the second fastest man in the United States of America in college track, long distance. And I remember the one thing he told me as a boy, because I wanted to be into track like he was. But at that time, because I really didn't know what I was doing, I was like more into being a sprinter, you know, because in my mind, you got more glory, you know. So he said, Paul, it's fine that you're burning every ounce of your energy because you're sprinting. He said, but if you're going to be a long distance runner, you're going to be running a long time and you've got to learn to pace yourself or you're going to burn out. Same thing with the study of truth. So you perceive this information and then you assimilate it. Assimilate it means you're receiving information, but then you need to devote adequate time to process the information. Okay, so it's understandable to you. Number three, as a check and balance, and we must all have a check and balance, because I'm telling you, there's some weird stuff out there that seems like truth, but it truly is a whacked out conspiracy theory. And you don't want to accidentally start absorbing that. So one of the ways you regularly can make sure you're on the right track is always ask yourself the question, never superficially, but ask yourself the question, is what this author or is what Paul McGuire is saying, is it based in the Bible? Can I find it in the Bible? Is it biblically accurate? Now, I want to challenge you on this, is that you can't arrive at that conclusion through superficial thinking, because you will come up with the wrong answer. Many Christians I talk to will go, well, I've never heard that in the Bible before, and you must be into the New Age, brother, or something. I mean, I've heard that. Okay, well, that's a false conclusion. And the reason you made a false conclusion about me is you never properly assimilated the information. If you really think about the Bible on a deeper level and really meditate upon what the Bible is saying, yes, this kind of stuff is all over the Bible. So, for example, in A Prophecy of the Future of America and the Babylon Code, I talk about Mystery Babylon and the occultic mind control they used and all these other things. So you'll see biblical roots to everything that I'm saying. I'm not just jumping out of a jet with a parachute hoping for the best. No, it's all locked into the scripture if you'll take the time to study the scripture and not just scratch the surface. So that's a check and balance. And then if what you're reading, now, this is a really important one. This is a really important one. And I really want you to hear this, okay? If what you're reading and studying, because in your mind, and I commend you, in your mind, you're trying to get the truth. You're trying to connect the dots. You're really going into areas that other people are afraid to do. But if the totality of everything you read, hear, and study produces in you a consciousness of negativity and fear and paranoia and retreat and failure and everything else, hey, you better slam the brakes on, take a break from the whole thing, because you're reading the wrong stuff. Okay? Very important to nail this. When a gentleman, which I won't name, was reading my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, he contacted me. He had read my book. He was the former head of the NSA in the area of psyops or psychological warfare. So this guy was heavy duty in the NSA. He was an expert in psychological warfare and psyops. He had read my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. And we had some debates via email. And what was interesting about his book on psyops is he said, I'm paraphrasing, but what he said was, the goal of psyops or psychological operations in the military is to absolutely convince your enemy that there is absolutely no hope of their winning the war against you, and that the only sane thing they can do is to surrender to you immediately. That was very simple, but it said it all. In other words, he was saying, feed your enemy with information that absolutely convinces them that there's no way they can struggle against you and succeed. The best thing they can do is surrender. So if you're reading information that convinces you that everything is hopeless, that nothing can be done to change the situation, that the only thing you can do to surrender, I'm telling you, you might as well be reading psyops from Satan to you. True wisdom is the integrity of the wisdom and the fruit of the wisdom. False wisdom, if the wisdom you're studying is leading you to suicide, despair, surrendering, you're reading the wrong wisdom. Godly wisdom, true wisdom, will not only set you free, but it'll give you the power to be victorious. It will give you the hope not to commit suicide. It will breathe life into you, and always remember that. So, the bottom line here is, because we live in a world where people are being bombarded with millions and billions of bits of information, there are very few people who know how to connect all the dots, because for most people, they're looking at a big abstract painting with all these bits of information that is meaningless to their rational mind. Therefore, they're confused, they're disoriented, and they're frightened, they're paranoid, and it doesn't do a whole lot of good for them because they just get more confused. You may not have this gift, or you may have it, I don't know. There are some people who it's a gift of God, and it usually results from their paying the price, but they can connect the dots, okay, of the big picture and create a meaningful, understandable whole and make that those dots solid, true, and a clear image of something that God wants to create. So that's what I believe one of my ministries is. So what I want to encourage you to do is to understand, okay, I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about how your mind can make you wealthy or how your mind can make you whole. No, I'm talking about the Word of God. Now, here's the thing to understand. God created you with a mind and a perception and an intellect made in His image. When you learn how to run your mind properly, God has given you a tremendous asset. Okay? So when you walk into a room, if you go into a college classroom, if you go to a business or whatever it is, and if you have, through practice and exercise, have developed the ability of going into any environment, including the whole world, social media, the internet, if you have developed the ability to connect all the abstract dots and make them into a meaningful whole, then you will have exercised the mind of Christ, and you will have developed a very rare ability which will give you the advantage in every situation, because you will be able to perceive all kinds of information, most that most people miss, and connect the dots into an understandable whole.
Therefore, you will not be operating from a place of confusion, but wisdom and understanding, and you will have the upper hand, which will make you victorious, and which will make you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus in these last days that we live in. So this is what I want to share with you that goes along with this. It doesn't work this way for everybody. It works this way for me. It may work this way for you and others. It's really, God works with different people different ways. One of the things that I kind of noticed in my young life, the first few decades of my life, and then as time went on and I was in different business fields like radio talk show host, feature film producer, contemporary Christian music promoter, minister, running a ministry, all kinds of things. I learned over the years, Paul, never make a business decision or an important decision after getting information by talking to somebody or talking to a group of people or whatever. Never make a decision the same day you're presented with all kinds of information. Because when you wake up, Paul, you're going to have a most likely a crystal clear understanding of what you're supposed to do. And most likely it will contradict what you just made up your mind about what you were going to do when you were first presented with the information. On top of that, I found that when it works best is I might go through a cycle of at least one night's sleep or two nights' sleep or three nights' sleep or four nights' sleep where I think about it during the day and then I allow my subconscious to think about it. Of course, I'm praying about it during the night. And I cannot tell you how many times in my life I've thought I concluded something, information I received in the day, but it wasn't until the following morning that things I didn't see began to emerge and everything kind of laid itself out perfectly. And it was only then after sleeping could I make the right decision and all the pieces fit. And what I discovered, and sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night in a dream and I'll get little glimpses of the answer. But what I learned is that the way my mind works, and I suspect it's the way many people's minds works, is we have our conscious mind, which is supposed to be about 10% of our mind, and our subconscious mind, which is about 90% of our mind. When we're making decisions after meeting people or whatever, we're trying to make a decision based on our conscious mind, which is 10%. When we sleep over it, now we're accessing the other 90%, and our brain is feeding off information that we got in those physical meetings, but we were unaware of that we were perceiving. Okay? See, the way it works like this. You go into a meeting, you talk to people, you listen to presentations, you have to make a decision whether I'm going to buy this house or that house or go this interest rate, that interest rate, or whatever it is, okay? And you think you have all the information. Well, in one sense, you do, because your conscious mind is totally there, and you've arrived at a decision. Plus, there's the danger of a salesman. I'm not knocking salespeople, but the danger of a salesman or anybody else trying to influence your decision, okay? But when you sleep on it, now you're accessing all the things, the millions of things that you saw with your eyes, that you heard with your ears, that you noticed through your powers of observation, the vibes you felt in the room. Now you're bringing all that stuff that your whole mind was really perceiving, but you were unaware of just how much you were perceiving. When you sleep over it, you're accessing the rest of that 90% of your mind. And all of a sudden you have the answer and you go, aha, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. How many have experienced that? Well, what you're doing then by sleeping is you're accessing the 90% of your subconscious mind. It's a very powerful tool that God created. And it goes in line with that God speaks to us through our human inner spirit. We need to remember this. That we're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The spirit is the spirit of our mind, not to be confused with the logic center, the logical center, or the analytical center. Okay? And that is another verse which says, for the candle of the Lord is the spirit of a man. And this means that the Lord's Holy Spirit will often speak to us, not like in an audible voice, but he'll speak to us in our inner human spirit. For the candle of the Lord is the spirit of a man. And so the way the Lord speaks to us is consciously and subconsciously through our own human spirit. These are dynamics of accessing 100% of your brain's perception, not just 10%. And it'll revolutionize your life. Now, back to this thing about looking at the dots and connecting the dots to get an understanding of the big picture. You need to understand, in the world that we live in, that every television program, well, let's just say the majority of TV programs in the mainstream media, the majority of films, music of all kinds, news, information, current events, or whatever it is, the majority of it is not just random, free-flowing news and information. There is a secret agenda behind it. In fact, there's a secret team of writers behind it and a secret team of directors behind it. And you can have themes in movies or messages in movies that were put there in movies that were produced 20 to 25 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago. But without you realizing it, a steady theme, a steady series of similar messages are being embedded in your mind through repetition over and over and over again over a period of 20 years. That's called predictive programming. It's a form of mind control. But you're unaware of it, okay? At the appropriate time, all of those messages will be linked to some kind of event that will be provoked by some new movie you saw, some new current event or whatever, and you will have already been programmed how to think, act, perceive, and react to it. But it was all done subconsciously without your realizing it. So part of having your perception turned on is not to be paranoid, but it's to learn how to look at the small picture as well as the big picture without succumbing to the temptation of paranoia and fear. Now I want you to, let me just read something to you. This has been done for hundreds of years, by the way, in nations all over the world, not just America, but it's something you should be aware of. And especially now, because we're seeing more manipulation of the imagery, the messages, the narrative in our media, mainstream media, film, television, music, than ever before. And I want to read something to you. I want to read something to you. Well, here, let's start at the very beginning. On the back of the U.S. dollar, there's a whole lot of occult imagery. Now, it's right in front of your face, but 99% of all Americans have absolutely no idea that it is occult imagery or what it stands for, even though they look at it day in and day out for 40 years of their life or more. The imagery like the pyramid, which is a recognized occultic symbol. The pyramid with the unfinished part towards the top, which contains the all-seeing eye of Horus or the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. And then for a token sucker punch, the words "In God We Trust" above that, so that all the sleepy Christians who have no clue about what's going on, they will go back into a daze, never questioning the pyramid or the bird, the phoenix, or the words "New World Order" in Latin at the base of the pyramid. They'll never think about that. They'll be put back to sleep by the cute little words "In God We Trust." Okay, so I want to talk to you, though, about the purpose of the programming, all right? And why is programming that is designed to operate on over a long period of time? And what its goal is in the long run. So, the first thing we need to understand is that on a primary clue as concerning the direction of the United States that began in 1776 was embedded pictorially and with images on the back of the U.S. dollar. And in a moment, I'm going to go into that and tell you what it means for now and your future. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. So back on the U.S. dollar, beginning in 1776, and there were revisions made numerous times in the back of the U.S. dollar. But in the back of the U.S. dollar, we have a huge amount of occult symbolism and numerology that comes from Freemasonry and the Illuminati. In 1776, the American Revolution occurred. In 1776, the Illuminati was officially birthed. The pyramid is an occultic symbol. It is a symbol of the New World Order. But it's a New World Luciferian order because that's why it has the all-seeing eye of Horus or the all-seeing eye of Lucifer towards the top of the pyramid. It's also an organizational flowchart. The hierarchy, the scientific dictatorship, are in minority. They're the elite and they rule the masses towards the base of the pyramid. On the base of the pyramid in Latin are the words Nuevos Order Seclorum, which means New Order of the Ages or New World Order. So it's giving you a message every time you use a dollar about the New World Order. On the right-hand side, the bird that most people think is a eagle is a phoenix. A phoenix is a legendary bird that burned up in the ashes, and it represents, the phoenix represents the New World Order. All occult symbolism on the back of the dollar about the Illuminati endgame and the endgame for the New World Order. Now, most people have no idea what that means with their conscious mind. They're in a hypnotic trance, though even though they look at it, they can't understand what they're looking at. It's right there, smack in the front of their face, but they have no idea what it means because they've been hypnotically programmed not to see it. That's one thing. It will become visibly obvious as time goes on. Another thing is that the person who designed this whole system was a guy named Sir Francis Bacon, who believed that America was to become the new Atlantis or the head of the New World Order. Then we move into modern times, and you've heard me say this before, but it's important. You have a guy named Charles Manson of the Manson family. He supposedly is a Satanist. He has these female followers or groupies. Supposedly his followers murder the actress Sharon Tate when she's pregnant in a bloody murder in Southern California. Manson has long hair like Jesus, but he has a swastika carved in the center of his, between his two eyebrows. And Manson comes off like a complete stark raving nut. He just died recently, except he slips in some things that are very bizarre, and that they're so bizarre that they actually make you wonder, was he really completely nuts, or maybe he knew something? So one of the things that Charles Manson maintained, and he was a practicing Satanist, according to Manson, Sharon Tate was a Satanist. The film director, Roman Polanski, was a Satanist. But according to Manson, he claimed that the Beatles' White Album, and this is from my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. Manson claimed that the Beatles' White Album was communicating a subliminal message about an apocalyptic race war that he named Helter Skelter after the Beatles' song. And Charles Manson and his followers, called the Family, were doing acid and practicing free love on the deserted Myers Ranch near Death Valley, California, where cowboy movies used to be filmed. Manson heard coded messages from the White Album while on drugs and gave his private interpretation of the Book of Revelation. Manson believed that he and his followers would escape the chaos through a hole that went deep under the ground in Death Valley into another world until Helter Skelter was over. So this is very interesting if you know other pieces of information. First of all, this idea that there were programmed messages in the Beatles albums and other rock and roll groups was not just the idea of Charles Manson. In fact, as I discuss in my book Conquering the Matrix and Mass Awakening, it was a belief by many people who believed that there was some kind of operation conducted by British intelligence and certain very secretive mind control institutes, which deliberately disseminated the use of the world's most powerful mind control drug ever developed in the history of mankind, which was LSD. And that's why that the counterculture revolution, Timothy Leary and all the rest, they distributed millions of doses of free LSD, the world's most powerful mind control drug, of which we get the name MK, for mind control, where the German Nazi scientists learned how to program people through heavy doses of LSD, shock, pain, trauma, repetitive brainwashing, etc., where they would program people to go into a hypnotic state and embed messages in their subconscious when they were high on LSD and listening to repetition. Repetition is when you're listening stoned out of your mind to a Beatles album over and over again. So there were many people, many, many people who believed that many of the albums of that time, of the sex, drugs, rock and roll counterculture, had subliminal hidden messages. And if you want the whole details, I mean, it's like so out there, but it's also true. I mean, to what degree it's true, I don't know. But to a significant degree, it's true, and I'll just leave it at that. And you can get that in Prophecy of the Future of America, Conquering the Matrix, and Mass Awakening, and the Babylon Code. So here is the supposedly raving nut, but he's telling the truth. Now, here's the thing about Manson, which I go into in Conquering the Matrix. Manson was supposedly, allegedly, a MK Ultra Manchurian candidate, not in the sense that he was programmed to be an assassin, but that he underwent that hardcore LSD mind control programming, and he was programmed, okay? That's what many researchers say. So he just wasn't a spontaneous nut. And this is what Manson said. He said, "Is it a conspiracy that the music is telling the youth to rise up against the establishment because the establishment is rapidly destroying things? Is that a conspiracy? The music speaks to you every day, but you are too deaf, dumb, and blind to even listen to the music. It is not my conspiracy. It is not my music. I hear what it relates. It says rise. It says kill. Why blame it on me? I didn't write the music." So you see, Manson was aware of something. And when he talked about going down some tunnel in the Mojave Desert, well, there are numerous reports of these massive underground bunkers and underground tunnels out in the desert that were designed to withstand a nuclear war or some kind of catastrophic societal collapse. Now, let's fast forward to today. Forget about Manson. Even though he's still being talked about by young people today, think about the content of countless movies and the subconscious message of the countless movies. Many of you have seen these movies. I'm not talking about the conscious message of the movies. I'm talking about the embedded subconscious message of the movies. You take these Purge movies, for example, and the one that's coming out now, which is Purge 1 or something. It's the Purge movie, which describes how the federal government declared a Purge Day to begin with. And what you will see, I've just seen the trailer, you will see the most brutal manipulation of human emotions through this Purge movie, designed to incite, in my opinion, hyper-racial violence, making the white person hate the black person and making the black person hating the white person, which erupts in mass murders and slaughters and riots all across America. Now, whether you think that's just a creativity of a screenwriter, I'll leave that up to you. Number two is you have, as if they were planned, all the Ferguson-type race riots, all the police shootings. I'm not saying innocent people didn't get shot. They did. I'm not saying that there weren't a lot of horrendous things. There were. I'm not denying reality, but what I'm telling you is the constant repetition of news media footage that showed police officers killing black men and other racial war type events has created an atmosphere in our nation up until this very moment where our nation is like so charged racially that the strike of one careless emotional match will make this entire nation erupt in full-on race wars. But my question to you is, learn to think beyond the random dots and ask yourself is, are all of these programs, which are very much being sent into the subconscious minds of both white people and black people, is this a deliberate mind control strategy to create anarchy and racial chaos for the purpose of declaring martial law and creating some kind of totalitarian state? I don't have the answer to that question. I don't know what the answer is. But I'm simply saying it is worth exploratory thought. Now, you're free to arrive at your own conclusion or disagree, but at least you need to think about it because it's more than odd. And we could go down so many other so-called random events. Are these random events when one happens after another? Are these random events or planned events? And who is it that is pulling the levers behind the scenes? Who are the puppets? Who are the mind control experts that are pulling the strings of the puppets time after time? And you look at this kid, what's his name, David something, and he's leading mysteriously out of the middle of nowhere, like usual. He comes out, okay, from the so-called middle of nowhere, and he's highly gifted, very gifted man, young man, very highly trained young man. And all of a sudden, he turns out to be a genius in organizing the youth and the masses. And he suddenly has all these connections where he's trained, he's got connections, and he can lead the youth in taking away all the guns. And it's like, who is this kid? Where did he get all this power? Who's behind him? And at the very least, there should be question marks. Is this a spontaneous reaction to school shootings, or is this a highly sophisticated psyops targeted towards the American people? Now, as to the end game here, let me say this with sobriety. If nothing more, if you were a student of history, you would already know the answer to many of the questions that I've just raised. It wouldn't come as a surprise. Remember, millennials, 76% of them, want a communist form of government or a Marxist form of government, and yet the same percentage, 76% of millennials, have absolutely no idea what a communist or Marxist government represents. 83% of millennials don't even know what the Holocaust is or what it was about. You're talking about an entire generation of people dumbed down on a level of stupidity that they are so compliant, they are so easily manipulated, that the first slick dictator that walks by, they're going to be saying Sig Heil to. But they don't even know what that Sig Heil means. So, remember, you are surrounded by people who, Christians and non-Christians, who have turned off their brains. They're in a state of vacuum in their minds. They're easily manipulated. They're not using their perception and their intelligence. And if you connect the big picture, you will come to the truth that there is a clock ticking, a digital clock ticking in this room and your room. And whether you want to know whether the digital clock is ticking or not, that's up to you to pay attention to it. But if your mind was turned on, if your mind was fully activated, if you were accessing your perception and your intelligence skills, you would know that the digital clock ticking, or excuse me, sorry, Freudian slip, digital clocks don't tick. They just move, man. That's weird. There's something in there. I don't have time to think about it. The digital clock is moving. They don't tick. Very fast, which means you have a limited amount of time, which means time is running out before the situations that I described regarding the intelligence, perception, and knowledge of history of the millennials. Time is quickly running out. And if you know anything about predictive programming that was developed by H.G. Wells, the science fiction author, and others, you will know that in the future, how near the future, we don't know, but in the relatively near future, there will be a series of things that happen in our society that will be a result of predictive programming. And that also means with the digital clock, you have a limited amount of time to turn on your brain, turn on your intelligence, turn on your perception, and to use the God-given mind that he gave you to preemptively make the changes that are necessary within you and in the manner in which you relate to the world to step into history, which is not fatalistic, and make a difference. All these Christians who misinterpret the Bible and leave you with the falsehood that history is fatalistic and there's nothing you can do about it are perpetuating a lie. History is not fatalistic and there is something you can do about it. It's dependent upon God's sovereignty, but you're supposed to do something about history. You're supposed to make history. That's why God gave you the power to rule and reign over planet Earth. God did not give you the power to be a snail and to be stomped on and squished. When I was a kid in New York City, and I used to eat snails because I was told to eat them by my French grandmother, and they were considered a delicacy at French restaurants, I loved them. I thought they were great. It didn't dawn upon me until I was years older that a snail was this disgusting little insect shell creature that slimed its way across the cement sidewalks in New York, and then you'd accidentally step on them, and you'd hear this crunch and squish, and they'd be all over the place. It was disgusting to look at a snail you stomped on. Okay? And then to try to go to a French restaurant, and you see it's a lot of money for a side order of escargot, which was the snails with garlic and butter sauce. I could never quite get into snails again. You think God's destiny for you is to be a snail that just kind of oozes his way, it's on the sidewalk, can't think very well, and has to wait until it's stomped on by a human being by accident and crunches and squishes all across the sidewalk? Is that your destiny? That's not your destiny. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God, for crying out loud. Stop hanging around with dumb Christians. Read the Word of God. You were made more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You were given the supernatural power to rule and reign. and to occupy the land until he comes. How dare you forfeit that divine destiny won to you by Jesus Christ, who died upon a cross, who paid the penalty of your sin personally, which is death, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, so that you might have eternal life forever and ever and be born again, so that you might be a joint heir with Jesus, a new man in Christ, that will enter heaven with a glorified body, live eternally with Christ, and you will rule and reign with Christ, sitting on a throne near Christ, forever and ever in heaven, and you will rule like kings and priests in heaven, or you will rule like queens and priestesses in heaven. That is your destiny, according to the Word of God. And it began in the Garden of Eden, when he supernaturally gave Adam and Eve the supernatural power to rule and reign. How dare you blaspheme God with fake legalistic piety and mock who God created you in his image and arbitrarily decide to define yourself as a snail oozing its way on a sidewalk just waiting to be stomped on? How dare you think like that when God said you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? It's time for you to repent, to renew your mind according to the Word of God, and before these so-called fatalisms come true, you must reject the very notion of fatalism as being true, and you must get yourself in line with the Word of God and occupy the land until he comes. On that note, and I hope it's a high note of truth, you'll join us again. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is a tough message. It had to be, because it's in love. True love confronts. True love confronts. And that's part of our message. So in order to do that, we need people like you who share the knowledge of why we're doing what we're doing, and who are willing to back us up with constant and intercessory prayer. You can imagine saying these things doesn't make you the most popular guy in the room. To share these things, we need to be backed up with prayer constantly. I need to be prayed for. My family needs to be prayed for. Our ministry needs to be prayed for by prayer warriors. We need people to listen to God and help us get the message out. And we continue to thank each and every one of you that seek the Lord in reality and ask him how you can donate or give financially and contribute to make this ministry happen. God bless each and every one of you. Visit paulmcguire.us.